This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, November 8th, 2024. Glad to have you along. Six now past the hour of 12 noon. From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between, always glad to have you along here. Mr. Zommers, we made it through the week. It's a sun-filled day. Get out there, folks. As the kids say, touch some grass.
Yes, I will definitely be doing that this weekend. Not sure exactly where, but I know as a gift to my parents, my siblings and I are paying for family photos to be taken.
Really?
Because we haven't done that in
a long
time. Or that kind of thing, yeah. I don't know where we're doing it. I don't know if it's outside, but
what are you
I hope
gonna
it
be,
is.
What are you going to like do a uniform dress code?
I think, to be honest, my mom was just kind of like, well, your sister wants to wear this sweater, so...
so everybody has to match that.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
We were What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. Trigby Olson and I went to the Packer Pro Shop in Green Bay, and the girls, it's two girls, they want to do their Christmas cards this year with the whole family in Packer pajamas. Is it pajamas or pajamas? I say both.
Neither is wrong.
But anyway, so I convinced Trigby to buy a onesie, Packer onesie.
I can picture Trigby in a Packer onesie, and it's a glorious image.
And it's very, very soft, by the way. It's extraordinarily soft. Yeah. Not Trigby, but the onesie.
Right.
So I'm looking forward in nervous anticipation to see that Christmas card this year, assuming that I get one. No, we will. And Trigby will be back on the show next Wednesday, by the way. I put my flannel on today. It's flannel weather. It's a beautiful day. I have my new Wonder State coffee hat on, and thanks to you and the whole crew here, my Wonder State mug. And I went up to the square and got myself some beautiful Wonder State coffee.
Have you sold out, Todd?
To Wonder State, anytime, any day, anywhere.
I know. I would, too. They're fantastic. Right.
They are. TJ and everybody up there at Viroqua at the all-solar-powered roastery, Wonder State Coffee. Make sure it's in your cup every morning. It gets you powered and gets you going. Wonder State Coffee with cafes in beautiful Bayfield up near Lake Superior, Viroqua, Wisconsin, and, of course, right here on the Capitol Square in downtown Madison. Great show coming up today. Next hour, we are returning to What's Worse. CP, the Home Office, has dialed up. And I'll let you know right now, it is not political.
Don't worry about that.
No politics today in hour two with What's Worse. It is a food-based What's Worse. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then Mr. Zommers is going to be in with a board game of the week. I think after this week, we can all use a little board game of the week. And you tell me it's one that's going to make me feel chill.
It's a very relaxing game.
It's exactly what I need right now. And then at 1:30, our old friend and ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, comes in with a week in review, a humorous look at the week in review. No, nothing made up. These are actual headlines from actual, real, ridiculous folks, human beings. And he'll be in at 1:30, and we'll close out the show with a little week in review.
It's very needed.
It's very needed. It's absolutely very needed. By the way, I'm just doing the show in real time because I don't care. dial up a little Camp, CAAMP, and their song "By and By," and dial up that. I want to listen to a little of that on the way out of this segment. So we're gonna go out with a little Camp. It's a great. I'm in a Camp type of mode right now. Chill music, a little coffee, some flannel, and some sunshine. That is the mood I am in today. I think we could all use a little bit of that. So we'll listen to a little Camp. My friend Tevis introduced me to this song, Camp, or there's a group.
And we've listened to some of it on the show before.
Yes. Good Camp stuff. And Mount Joy, two wonderful, wonderful groups, and I hope to see them in concert at some point. So, well, we're going to listen to a little camp a little while later as well. I will start off with just a key little bit of politics here. Nothing heavy, nothing major, but some interesting factoids here. If I can bring it up. See, this is why, Zomers, I print things off and I don't use my laptop. Here we go. All right, here we go. This is from our friends over at WisPolitics. At WisPolitics.com, Jeff Mayers, the entire group over there. If you're not subscribed to WisPolitics, what the heck is wrong with you? WisPolitics.com. Headline, Marquette University, Wisconsin in 2024. Marquette Law School researchers share ward-level analysis of the state's vote for president and U.S. Senate. I think this is just a great post-mortem to go through this a little bit because people are like, what does this all mean? I don't know. The honest answer is right now, I'm not 100% sure what it all means, but sometimes you could find a little bit of understanding in facts and figures. So from our friends at WisPolitics, it says exceptional depth and detail. That is what researchers at Marquette University Law School and its Luber Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education are providing in analyzing the Wisconsin vote for the November 2024 election. Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy and director at the Marquette Law School poll. We know Charles well. He's been on the show. I need to get Charles back, by the way. And also Luber Center fellows, Craig Gilbert, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, along with John Johnson, have analyzed voter data across Wisconsin and brought together the results with discussion of long-term trends to identify factors influencing Tuesday's election. This release includes links to articles, by each writer. So we're going to go through just a little bit of this. I'd encourage you to check this out. There's some new legislative maps on here that are very interesting as well. So this is from John Johnson, a research fellow at Marquette Law School poll. It says, former President Donald Trump won Wisconsin's 2024 presidential election by just shy of 30,000 votes. 30,000 votes. After losing the state by 21,000 votes in 2000 and winning by 23,000 votes in 2016. Meanwhile, Senator Tammy Baldwin won re-election by a similarly slim 29,000 votes. This after Senator Ron Johnson won his 2022 re-election campaign by 27,000 votes. While other parts of the country, like New York, New Jersey, saw big swings to the right, Wisconsin shifted more modestly. Trump eked out a win, but not enough to pull Eric Hovde along with him. Republicans won most of the competitive seats in the state assembly, likely keeping a comfortable 9-seat advantage. But Democrats swept all 4 state Senate targets, making them marginal favorites to win the chamber coming up in 2 years in 2026. I thought that's all just fascinating information. And I can't wait until on Wednesday when Trigvy and Olson of the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. Pat's on vacation next week. I'm doing double duty, by the way, on Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
I'm hosting, guest hosting Up North News Radio on Monday and Tuesday from 6 until 8 and then doing our show from noon until 2.
Yeah, make sure you rest up the old voice this weekend.
that's what I'm going to try to do. But it's a double dose of Todd on Monday and Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. But anyway, Trigvy will be here on Wednesday, and he's talked about this. Our friend Scott Klug at Lost in the Middle, which can be heard on the weekends, he has talked in a whole show on ticket splitters, right? And I'm going to be very interested to see Trigvy's take on this. How many of the Evers-Johnson voters from 2 years ago ended up being Trump-Baldwin voters this time around? Luke Mathers, our very own Luke Mathers, pointed out yesterday that Kamala Harris, she actually got more votes on Tuesday in Wisconsin than Joe Biden got 4 years ago. There are only 2 other people that have gotten more votes for president in recent memory in Wisconsin. One was former President Barack Obama in 2008. And of course, Donald Trump on Tuesday.
I thought she beat Obama. I remember Luke, I don't know if this was still accurate, but I remember Luke saying that she was number 2 behind Donald Trump.
I'll stand corrected. I understood him to say only two other races, I thought he said, where.
Gotcha. He may have said
where,
that.
Yeah, 2 other races. If he was out in the hall, I thought he was somebody else. But if you're listening, Luke, you can correct this. But I think he said that only two other candidates have gotten more votes than Harris. One was Obama in 08, and the other, of course, Trump on Tuesday. And we talked, of course, with Tyler Katzenberger on Wednesday from Politico. He's done research on this in the rural parts of the state. And every rural county in Wisconsin, sans Door County, went in higher numbers for Donald Trump on Tuesday compared to 2020. I was listening to Matt Nair on air with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach on the way in. They had our political editor, Dan Schaefer, on. Dan making the point that it was my home area, Southwest Wisconsin, that saw the highest increase percentage-wise for Donald Trump. And as we look forward to next elections, remember there's, just relax, take a breath. I don't want to upset anyone. We have a statewide election in 6 months or less than Supreme Court justice race coming up in April. That's going to be a statewide race. In 2 years, there will be a race for governor, statewide race. And then in 4 years, of course, for president. And Dan making the point, our own Dan Schaefer, that as we look forward to these next elections, the areas where Democrats really need to do self-examination and find out what was the disconnect here and how do we recapture some of these votes is Western Wisconsin. And Mr. Sommers, my mad cow, who was it that about 6 months ago, as they looked at this race, who was it that pointed out that Western Wisconsin would likely decide this race?
Scott Klug.
It was Scott Klug and Trygve Olson.
They both
did. That it would be along the I-94 corridor from Madison, Southwest Wisconsin, up through to La Crosse, and then from Highway 29 from Eau Claire, Wausau, over to Green Bay. And at the end of the day, so far, results were seen from credible people like Marquette Law School poll, Charles Franklin, and John Johnson. That's exactly where it was, in Western Wisconsin. Good self-reflection. Good to pause, reflect, look at the numbers. Have a cup of Wonder State coffee and listen to some Camp. Come back after this. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Are you a life force? Thinking about it every day on my mind a typical way. Are you a life force for me?
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Radio Network from the song or from the album called By and By, a group called Camp, spelled C-A-A-M-P, Camp with two A's, song called No Sleep, which is something we have not had a lot of this week is not too much sleep. But I also think it's a great little tune and motto moving forward. Can't sleep. We can rest, but we can't sleep.
I also think the vibe of it is exactly what I personally need right now.
Yeah.
I know earlier in the week I was listening to a lot of, I guess, angrier music. Mm-hmm. And now just chill out. Like you said, go touch some grass.
Right.
Just working through what we need to do.
Exactly. Take care of each other. Take care of ourselves. Reach out. Talk to my good friend, Alex Henvey. Alex Thomas Henvey down in beautiful Dallas. And we had, he's a big Mavs fan, of course. And so I had talked to him since we talked to Mark Cuban. And it turns out, I don't think you'll mind me saying this, but his wife works in an industry where she had the opportunity to run into him and meet him in person in the Dallas area. And he was as nice in person as he was to us over the phone.
I believe it.
So yeah, another shout out from Mark Cuban there. And shout out to Alexander T. Great guy down there in beautiful Dallas, Texas. Listens into us down there. Taking care of America's onions to make sure that Culver's onion rings safe and secure and delicious as always. Right?
And if anything is important,
it's a Culver's onion ring. Absolutely.
So true.
Absolutely. Off the text line, Andrew with smart comments about me guest hosting Up News Radio next week. I would never take over both shows at all. They never let me. I wouldn't want to. That's way too much. Happy just to fill in for Patrick, who's taking a couple of days off next week. He'll be back the week after. And so I'm guest hosting Up North News in the morning on Monday and Tuesday. Join me then. And then we'll be here for our show as well. Also, Tom, listening on WMDX, says, Todd, please bring up the spring Wisconsin judicial race. Let's get a jump. This is so important. Thank you very much. Tom, we did there briefly. And yes, we'll be next week. We're gonna get into more politics next week again. Look forward to the spring elections. And you're absolutely right, though, because once again, control of the Supreme Court is going to be up for grabs. Richland Center native Ann Walsh Bradley deciding not to run. So it's an open seat. She's one of the liberals on the court. Right now, the court has a one-seat liberal majority. So whichever candidate, whichever side wins this race in the spring will control the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we've already seen how critical that control is. Wes, listening in Middleton on WMDX, says, brother, the Richland Center, Richland County went for the RC, that is, went for OC Hovde, handily. We got to figure this out, ASAP. This urban-rural polarization is not sustainable and will cost us everything that sets us apart as a state. We are cruising to be North Florida. I hope not. And the path to that is running through the Fox Valley in southwest Wisconsin. Wes, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, we talked about it before this program. Southwest Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, the Fox Valley, those are key.
And I think almost the worst part of it is the building resentment between rural and urban and just how the hatred just keeps rising.
And I think that that's where it's incumbent upon folks like me that have an opportunity to be behind a microphone every day. And really, we've kind of laid the groundwork, I guess, unbeknownst. And we didn't do these, whatever it was, 4 or 5 tours this year with Trygve Olson and Reed Galen, and did a week with Jane Mattenair. These What Make Wisconsin Great tours. It wasn't just for, I can't say it, shoots and giggles. It wasn't just to be out there and goofing off. It was hard work. It was fun work, but it was hard work. We did it to help remind us and each other and all of our listeners that what makes Wisconsin great is not our politicians. It's not political parties. It's Wisconsinites, be they small business people or farmers, teachers, educators, volunteers, firefighters, first responders. List goes on and on. That's what makes Wisconsin great. And so I hope to continue that into 2025. Spend more time listening to areas like where I'm from in southwest Wisconsin. Figuring out what is it that, I shouldn't say what is it, but why is it that they voted in this election a certain way? And be curious, not judgmental. Again, I hasten to add, that doesn't mean giving up my principles. I'm not going to change what I believe. Everything I said up until and through this election, I still stand behind and I still believe. But how we say things, are we listening to each other? Because just doubling down on what happened this election cycle is not going to win anybody over. I'll tell you that much right now. And part of that is just getting out there and getting better known. Having this network, Civic Media, is a blessing and an opportunity. And we're just getting started, by the way. Only 2 years in. So expect to see a lot more of us around Wisconsin coming up in 2025. Off WISS in Oshkosh, John saying, appreciate y'all and what Civic Media does. This just does not make any sense. I'm so worried for the future of my 10 and 8-year-old daughters. How can I explain this to them? Ugh. Unquote. I get it, John. I don't have daughters myself. Don't have children of my own. Have two godsons, two nieces. I think a lot of us are worried. But again, as we talked about yesterday, rather than looking at worst case scenarios, just take one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 month at a time. I can't promise what the future does and doesn't hold. But I know that if we hang on to our friends and families and lean on that, that's foundational. And that's what helps us. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take more of your calls, more thoughts, and talk about a little history. There's some good news coming up tomorrow. We'll tell you about it after this. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Todd Allball with the Civic Media News breaking report. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about 90 minutes ago, a hazmat team investigated a package sent to the fifth floor of the Milwaukee City Hall, of course, in Milwaukee, where City Election Commission is located. Milwaukee Fire Department Deputy Chief Travis Jones said he could not confirm whom or what department the package was sent to or other details. People were still able to enter and exit Milwaukee City Hall while the fire department was on site. People are being instructed not to go to the fifth floor of Milwaukee City Hall at this hour. A city spokesperson said the response was out of an abundance of caution, quote unquote, and to protect city workers. This morning, multiple fire department vehicles were gathered around City Hall, including three fire trucks. Again, repeating breaking news at this hour, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about 90 minutes ago, a hazmat team was sent to the Milwaukee City Hall to investigate a package on the fifth floor. It happens to be where the City Election Commission is located, but according to the deputy fire chief, we do not know if that was a target at all. Not going to confirm that at this hour. It's still a breaking story. Fire department is on site at Milwaukee City Hall. People are still being allowed to go in and out of the building. However, they are not being allowed to go to fifth floor on Milwaukee City Hall. There are a number of emergency vehicles gathered around City Hall, including three fire trucks. If you're listening to us on WAUK in the Milwaukee area, you might want to avoid Milwaukee City Hall, at least for the foreseeable future. Our Civic Media News team will continue to keep you abreast of this story. For now, I'm Todd Allball, Civic Media News.
One, two, three. calling from the FBI. Yeah, they had me on some charges back in San Antonio. You know, I never got the reason why I turned up in a casino with my hands up ready to fight. The whole damn mariachi band were playing the same tune twice. I get high.
The Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Keep Blues Away, right? By Camp there. Nicely done, Mr. Sommers. Great group, Camp, C-A-A-M-P, off their album called By and By. Get high on life. Get high on sunshine. Enjoy yourself this weekend if you can. Get out and just be outside. It's a perfect day for that. Even if you stick your head out and just take a deep breath, do that today. You will not be sorry. 855-752-4842. Going to talk a little bit about this day in history. But first of all, go back to the phone lines. Matt listening on WMDX in Middleton. Matt, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hey, Todd. It's thank you for Civic Media. My first question you can answer is, what can we do to support Civic Media in the future when Trump and the fascists try to shut you down?
Well, we hope that doesn't happen.
My main point is... Well, who knows, right?
You don't know.
But my main point, I want to bring up this Elon Musk thing and the tech bros and why this is so dangerous. I watched two interviews last night. One was Anthony Scaramucci, who used to work for Trump.
The Mooch, yeah.
And the other was a Times Radio interview with the father of Elon Musk from South Africa, the apartheid state, right?
Right.
And Elon Musk's father is clearly a racist, tyrannical type person. He was constantly shutting the person down. But the eerie part was that every time that the host confronted him on his racist points about immigration, where he actually said that we have to get rid of these people, referring to people of color. And he used this line, we have to use common sense. We have to be common sense. He used it several times. Trump used that very same line in his inaugural acceptance speech. And to Scaramucci's points about Elon Musk, what's behind this is Elon Musk and Peter Thiel think that they're smarter than everyone else, and they should make the decisions of how government functions. So their plan is to basically cripple and bring America to its knees so that they can become the rulers. And they do not think that average people are smart enough to make decisions. And this is why they're autocrats and support dictatorship. And I just wanted to make that point. So people are aware that this is what's coming. And these people truly are borderline Nazis in their ideologies. And I want people to stop making excuses and pretend that this is not real, because it is.
I appreciate the call, Matt. Yep, I appreciate the call. I would say a couple of things. Number one, that in terms of, you know, whether people are fascist or authoritarian, I've tried really hard on this program, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Zommers, to point that towards Trump and the people around him, the leadership of MAGA. I think it's really important in this moment that we're not calling each other Nazis or fascists or authoritarians.
And I think that Matt did a good job with that, pointing it at Elon Musk.
Right. And so you can point to guys like Musk, you can point to guys like Trump himself, but I think it's really important in this moment as we work through the blameless autopsy, so to speak, on how we learn from this election in terms of people who don't agree with Trump and Trumpism. How do we learn from this? One of the things that we learn is being very careful that we don't blame voters, right? People voted because they felt a certain way, because they had certain feelings. You can't, I guess you can fault people, but it's hard for me to say, well, it's the voters' fault. I think it's, again, we're not through, we don't know all the facts and figures yet. We'll see in the coming days and weeks. But I think it's more productive to focus on the messaging that voters received. whether that was from partisan parties or candidates or from media, quite frankly, myself included. And did I miss something? Did we miss something in how we interact with people, how we talk to people every day? Why is it that more Democrats stayed home? Why is it that more black and brown folks voted for Trump this time? Why is it that more white males came out for Trump? Why is it that more white females came out for Trump? Why is it that every rural county in Wisconsin, except for Door, saw the Trump numbers go up? And yes, there were some Democratic wins in the state Senate and the state assembly and Tammy Baldwin. And those are great. And we can learn from those. Why is it that those people won and Trump won? Why is it that 78% of public school referendums passed on the same day that Donald Trump, who has said that he wants to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education, also won in those same counties? It's the same voter, right? So to go after voters, I'm not saying you did this, Matt, but I just think it brings up a good opportunity to talk about
right,
this.
Right, right.
That because I'm just watching, you know, on socials, broadly speaking, there's a narrative out there to somehow blame the voter. Well, in Wisconsin, the same voters passed and voted for K-12 public education to raise their own taxes to support public education and also voted for Donald Trump. So it's the same voter in some cases. That things that we might agree with and things that we disagree with. So what was the difference between their take on that? What was the message they were receiving as voters about their public schools that said, yes, I'll raise my own taxes to help my own public school, but I'm also going to vote for the guy who wants to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education.
Right. It shows that clearly whatever they heard, wherever they heard it, they want to do something to help their community.
Right. And I think that's where we have to really take a step back for a minute. And I think there is something to be said. Again, I'll take a breath here. How people feel is how they feel, right? And if people felt to a certain degree that they were being the point or they were being the, I don't want to say victim, that doesn't sound right, but if they were being the main target, maybe put it that way, there are voters out there that feel that they personally were being called racists and Nazis and so on and so forth. And let me be honest, perhaps I perpetuated that. My point was trying to point that towards the leadership of the MAGA Republican Party. And again, I don't withdraw my principles. Some of those things that were said were wrong, were racist and misogynistic, said by the candidates. But to blame all the voters and throw everybody in, you know, to the same group, I do think that's unfair. And I think you have to step back and ask people and truly listen, not cut them off, but truly listen about why they voted a certain way. Doesn't mean we always have to agree, but I think it's healthy to listen. Speaking of, Matt talked about how can we support civic media. We appreciate that very much. Tony Zimmerman, spot on it. Here's a quick answer. Support civic by donating. How can you do that? Thank you so very much for asking. Go to civicmedia.us/support. civicmedia.us/support. There you go. So just simply go to the page, civicmedia.us, and go to support. That'll take care of it right there. We appreciate the call, though. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. All right, let's talk about my little good news on this day in history. Maybe not this day in history, but we're not on the air tomorrow, as it turns out. We have the day off. So we're going to talk about November 9th, one of the big wins in American and world history happened 35 years ago tomorrow. November 9th, 1989, saw the fall of the Berlin Wall. Zommers, you were not alive to see that, but I was. I was at Platteville going to school. I remember watching it on TV. It was a surreal thing to watch that. I can't believe it's been, I can't believe it's been 35 years. Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev had the wall built in 1961 after years of travel restrictions and a steady stream of defections. 2 years after the wall went up, President Kennedy, speaking to a crowd of 120,000 at the West Berlin Wall, City Hall, had this to say. Here's Kennedy at the Berlin Wall.
All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
I am a Berliner. Kennedy, back there in just a couple of years after the wall went up. When the wall came down, it started a reunification of Germany after 28 years of separation. A lot of people, probably young people, don't remember this. There used to be an East Germany and a West Germany. For the Olympics, you'd have two teams from Germany, an East German and West German team. More broadly, the fall of the wall symbolized the collapse of communist ideology. And 2 years later, the Cold War ended. A 42-year Cold War began on March 12th of 1947 and ended December 3rd of 1989. That means the Cold War lasted more than twice as long as the 20-year War on Terrorism, which started September 11th, 2001, and ended August 30th, 2021. For an epilogue to the end of the Cold War, 2 years later, in 91, the Soviet Union was officially dissolved. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Peach Fuzz. That was Dial Up There. A little Peach Fuzz by Camp, C-A-A-M-P. Good vibe for today on a Friday. TGIF, Zommers on the board, All Ball behind the mic. 52 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, November 8th, TGIF. I'm hearing you. Lots of texts. And I'm going to chalk part of this up to something that I think we're all... A lot of us are feeling, I'll just say that, anxiety, fear, anger, frustration, however many adverbs we want to keep going, adjectives. And
grief, the stages of grief.
Grief, yeah, great. One person, I don't want to name all these people by name because I just don't think that's fair. One listener on MDX says, I really don't know how you reach a voter who can reconcile all the hypocrisy, contradiction, and lies to vote the way they did. I get it. I get what you're saying. But again, I go back to 2016. And one of the great things about this program are you, our listeners. And I so appreciate you all. And you have, the people that listen to this show on a regular basis, you have made it your responsibility to say, I'm going to be an informed public civic person. I'm going to be involved and in touch, so to speak. And I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. I wouldn't be here without you. But I think it's really important to pause and reflect and remember the vast voting majority in Wisconsin is not informed or doesn't listen to the same type of media or any media at all, perhaps like you and I do. There's a whole segment of our voting public who just says, you know what, it's all just nonsense. And they're working three jobs, and they might have to drive 30 minutes one way for one of those jobs. And they're working 6 or 7 days a week to put food on the table for their spouse and 2 or 3 kids. And they haven't got time to get involved in terms of radio or TV. They're just trying to earn a living. And all they know is that prices are higher and they're paying more for stuff. And they might not like Trump at all. They despise all the nasty stuff he's done and said. But for whatever reason, he cut through in some of these folks and said, I don't even know if it's him. The more I've thought about this and looked at it again, and Dan Schaefer made this point on Jay Matinair this morning. And I've seen it in other places as well. Around the world, not just in America, but around the world, the party in power has lost repeatedly in the last 2 years because people are just frustrated, and I'll use the word pissed off. And it's not rational. They're just ticked off and they want to blame someone. And so they blame whoever happens to be in power. And if you sit down and have a beer with some, not all, I agree with you listeners. I agree with some of these texts that some of the people that voted for Trump actually do believe in some of the things that he says. And I think that's dangerous and hurtful. But I think there's also a large segment, or at least a segment, of Trump voters who don't believe all that, but are just frustrated and don't have time to get all the information because they're just working their butts off. I'm willing to give some people the benefit of the doubt to listen so that we move forward and we can find ways to find more common ground and elect people closer to the center. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tom, listening in Madison on WMDX, on what farmers think. Tom, thanks for calling in. What say you?
You bet. Yeah, a couple of quick points. Well, first of all, in 2016, we didn't really know how bad Trump could be. Now we kind of know better. Secondly, there are people that were motivated by fear and nothing else. And I hate to say it, yeah, there are people in rural areas working 2 or 3 jobs, but there are people in cities working 2 or 3 jobs just as well.
Sure, that's true.
And one thing that they don't want to, I think it really began with Ronald Reagan. For all these decades, people saying government is not the solution, government is the problem. And it's a real easy horse to kick if you actually believe that. I was talking to a guy years ago, I think it might have been at the protests again, and he was saying, you know, I don't need no government programs. My family's been working this farm in Nebraska since, you know, after the Civil War. And I said, oh, he said, and generation after generation, we've worked that farm. I said, that's great. And I said, and he said, yeah, we got that because my great-great-great-grandfather got it for serving in the Union Army. And I said, so basically you're telling me the success of your family is due to a government program.
Well, there's that, right?
And he said, Jesus, I never thought of it that way. Mm. I'm like, yeah, giving, you know, that's something that they gave to people from the government. Do you really think the guy, your great-great-great-grandfather, could afford to buy however many 100 acres they got? No. Mm.
Yeah. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Appreciate it, Tom. The Tom Lemos Show, Hour 2 continues. A What's Worse is coming up straight ahead. Also, our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a more lighthearted look at the week in review. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.